Good morning. You know, life is hard. And you're saying, yeah, thank you, Captain Obvious. I didn't need to come here this morning for you to tell me that. And I certainly don't need to unpack that. But life is hard. And you know what? It gets even harder when you choose to follow Jesus. Does that surprise you? Now, I didn't say it gets worse when you follow Jesus, but it does get harder. And at the same time, it gets better, but it doesn't necessarily get easier. And Jesus was always honest with us. He never did this bait and switch. He never said, hey, come follow me. Life's going to be so easy. It's going to be a piece of cake. He never said that. He actually prepared us for how difficult it was going to be. There was one time he was actually talking about a certain kind of folks, rich people. He said, it's harder for rich people to get into heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And the disciples were pretty shocked when he said this. And the disciples, they said, who then can be saved? And Jesus responded, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that's a critical, you know, that's critical for us to get. No matter who we are, no matter our situation, our condition, no matter our history, no matter what, on our own, we cannot live the life that Jesus is calling us to live. It's impossible. We can't do it. And following Jesus, I believe, is the hardest thing that you and I will ever do. And again, I'm not saying this to discourage us. I'm saying this because it's the reality that we need help. On our own, we can't do this, but with God, all things are possible. And God understands this. And so God has said, I'm going to help you. And the way that he helps us the best is by providing us the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. And the Bible talks so much about the Holy Spirit. I think one of the best descriptions of the Holy Spirit is that he's our coach. He's our best friend. He's always with us. He never forsakes us. He gets you and I better than we get ourselves. He knows every thought, every secret, all of the uniqueness to our situations. And that's not so that he can surprise us or shame us or punish us, but rather he knows all those things so that he is the one who can best help us as we face the challenges that we face in our life. He prays for us all the time. The Holy Spirit is God in your corner. He's like a trainer, you know, who a boxer's in the boxing ring and he's going at this battle, so to speak, and the trainer's in the corner trying to coach him and help him, and that's the Holy Spirit. We face a difficulty of life in so many ways, and there's the Holy Spirit. He's in our corner. He's there to help us. And so today we're beginning a four-week series called Ghost. And I know that ghost is mostly referred to in horror films. For me, Ghost is more about that cartoon I watched as a child, Casper, the Friendly Ghost. The word ghost actually became very, very popular in usage beginning in 1611. And you go, why 1611? 1611 was when the King James Version of the Bible was published. And the translators were using Old English, and they translated the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. And so we thought we'd do a throwback, and we're going to call this series Ghost. And in this series, I'm going to ask, and particularly today, we're going to ask some questions about to help us understand and to engage the Holy Spirit better. And so I want to start with this. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who's the Holy Ghost? He's God. We know that God reveals himself in three persons. One God who reveals himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is one in every way, but we experience him through these three personages, so to speak. And sometimes we call this the Trinity, one God in three persons, and so we refer to that as the Trinity. He's united, he's one, but we get to experience him in these different personalities. Now, of the three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I want to suggest, and I think this is probably almost a universal experience, that of the three, the most neglected, the most misunderstood, and at times even the most feared of the three is the Holy Spirit. And maybe you've experienced some of those things, and maybe all of those things at a different time in your life. And we all come from different backgrounds and experiences. Some of us here grew up in churches where the Holy Spirit was never talked about. The church would focus on the Bible, talk about God, talk about the work of Jesus, but rarely, if ever, talk about the Holy Spirit. And that might have been your experience. Some of us came from churches that were excessively focused on the Holy Spirit and seemed like that's all there was to talk about or to think about was the Holy Spirit. And in some of those places, it was so excessive that you actually even experienced abuse and control in the name of the Spirit. Now, when I say that, that's not the Holy Spirit's fault. That's the fact that there were some people that weren't really living fully Christ-like lives in that context. And the point is that we don't want to go either extreme. We don't want to ignore the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be excessively focused on the Holy Spirit, that there's nothing else that matters. There's a healthy balance there. And some of us are here, are exploring faith or new to faith, and we're not even sure who the Holy Spirit is. So that's why we're doing this series, so that we can better understand the Holy Spirit. Each of us are in a different place in our faith. And it's my hope that for each and every one of us, we'll experience more of the undeniable work of the Holy Spirit personally. It's my hope for each and every one of us to renew and deepen our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person whom we can have a relationship with. You know, we all have cell phones, and we talk to the cell phone all the time. We look at the cell phone all the time. We actually have a name for it, Siri. It's always with us. It's close to us. Some of you even sleep with it, all right? But it's an it. You can't have a relationship with it. You use it, but you can't have a relationship with it. We call the Holy Spirit a person. Now, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is a human being. The Holy Spirit is God. But the Holy Spirit is God with the full character of God. The Holy Spirit is a person in the sense that God has personality that we can engage with him. He has the kind of personality where we can have a relationship with him. He's God coming to us in person. The Holy Spirit is God in your corner. Now, most of us don't think of a spirit or even more so a ghost maybe as something that's personal. You know, we think of a spirit or ghost as this wisp, that's kind of ethereal, maybe you can't really touch and connect with. But yet the New Testament describes the Holy Spirit in very personal ways. I want to show you several scriptures, several ideas. I'm not going to read each of the scriptures. We're going to put them on the screen. You can see them. And also those scriptures are in my notes. You can always access those notes at mypantano.church, East Message Notes, if you want to, and I'd encourage you to follow up and read those. But I just want you to get the feel for the personality, so to speak, of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a mind. The scripture says that the Spirit has a mind. In fact, that encourages us to have the mind of the Spirit ourselves. The Holy Spirit has a will. He gets to decide. He gets to determine, for example, what spiritual gifts that we have. He's choosing those things for us. The Holy Spirit has emotions, particularly the emotions of love and joy that are described in the scripture. The Holy Spirit speaks. He teaches us. He comforts us, he encourages us, and all of that's described in the scripture. The Holy Spirit feels sorrow. He experiences that because the Spirit can be insulted, can be resisted. And all of those are, and there's many, many more, all of those are just descriptions about how personal the Holy Spirit is, a person that we can have a relationship with. So let me answer the next question. Next question is, how do we get the Holy Spirit? How do we receive the Holy Spirit? When we decided to follow Jesus, we also invited the Holy Spirit to live within us. And we may not have been aware of that. That may not have been clear to us, but that's exactly the process that we entered into, that when we said, when we surrendered our will to the will of God, we said, God, we want you to come and live within us. And when that happened, that was the Holy Spirit coming to live within us. And when we surrender the control of our lives to God, what God promises us is that we are going to receive the forgiveness of sins and we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what was described on the day that the church was born. On the day the church was first born, Peter had given a message about who Jesus was, and the people were convicted, and they said, okay, so how do we respond? What do we do? And here's what Peter said. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts 2:38. See, when we choose Jesus, when we say yes to Jesus, we have the forgiveness of all of our sins, and we have the gift of the Holy Spirit who comes and lives inside of us. And I just want to pause. If you haven't yet made a decision to follow Jesus, I want to encourage you to seriously consider that, because Jesus is the only way that we're going to experience the forgiveness of our sins. It's the only way. And it's only by saying yes to Jesus that God's Spirit will come and live within us and do that transforming work inside of us. And I want to encourage you to say yes to Jesus, which also means saying yes to the Spirit of God. And if you have questions about that, ask somebody you're sitting next to. Ask our prayer partners at the end of our service. They'll be up front. Go to room number one off our courtyard, starting point. We'd be glad to talk with you about that. What Peter reminds us is that we need to repent. We need to change the direction of our life. That's what repent means. From doing life our way to doing life God's way. And then we make the commitment of that in baptism. And if you've made a decision recently to say yes to Jesus, if you make that decision this week, next Sunday we're going to have an opportunity to have baptisms. And I want you to know that so you can prepare for that. Next question. What does the Holy Spirit do? I want us to look at John chapter 14. Turn there. It's page 737. Those of you with us online, we're going to provide the link for you for that. 737 in the Bibles we provide. And if you need a Bible, please feel free to take one. We want you to have that. And as you're turning there, let me just give you the context. This is right after Jesus had his last supper with his disciples. During that meal, he made it very, very clear that Judas was going to betray him, that Peter was going to deny him, that he was going to be arrested, that he was going to be crucified, and that he was going away. And you've got to get the mood in this moment, because the disciples, they are grieving. They are so confused but also sad that Jesus is leaving them. And it's to that Jesus is speaking these words. And in John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father to send you another advocate. Some translations have translated advocate as helper or as a comforter. And the word advocate literally means it's that person that you call to come alongside you to help you. That's exactly who the Holy Spirit is. Somebody that's right with us to help us. Somebody who comes alongside us. In a modern context, we might say this could be like a counselor, a coach, a mentor, a lawyer, a good friend. Somebody that has some expertise that could come along to help us in our time of need. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of us to coach us, to mentor us, to teach us, to guide us, to give us direction, to give us instruction and counsel as we seek to live like Jesus. He's that helper who helps us live like Jesus. And Jesus said, not only is he that advocate, but he's another advocate. And at the very end, when I said that, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What he's describing is that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Jesus. It's this other advocate. Just like Jesus was physically, now the Spirit is with us all the time to be that same advocate that Jesus has always been for us. And Jesus also called him the Spirit of truth. You see, the Holy Spirit will never lead us to do anything that's contrary to our true God and to the truth of Scripture. In fact, it was the Holy Spirit that inspired the writers of our New Testament to write what they wrote. The Holy Spirit inspired them so that we have the truth that we can rely on. And so the Spirit will never lead us to do anything that's contrary to God or the Scripture. It just wouldn't make sense. The Holy Spirit helps us to know and understand the truth, but not just to know it with knowledge, but also how to apply the Scripture to our lives. You see, the very words that the Spirit inspired, the Spirit that lives within us takes those words and makes them come alive in our lives so that we can apply them in the truth to our unique situations, whatever that might be. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been reading through the Scripture, and maybe you've experienced this. You're reading and all of a sudden a verse or a phrase just pops out at you. It's like, whoa. Folks, that's the Holy Spirit trying to get our attention. Trying to say, hey, you need to pay attention to this. You need to obey this. You need to do this. You need to apply this in your life. He's our advocate. He's our coach who's trying to help us. He's in our corner. He's leading us to the very best place possible. And he knows that the truth is what will always take us to the very best place possible. And so here's our challenge. This is the challenge of this whole series that we're going to be doing. I want to encourage you to embrace your amazing coach and mentor, the Holy Spirit. Let him guide you. Let him lead you. Let him direct you. Let him help you live like Jesus, because you can't do it on your own. But that's our struggle. Our struggle is we want to do it on our own. We think we can do it on our own. And so we're tempted to take things into our own hands and limit the influence of the Spirit in our lives. And I want to read four scriptures today that are admonishment and encouragement to us to truly embrace the work of the Spirit. And the first one is found in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. And let me give you the context as you're turning there. Acts chapter 7. Verse 51, page 748. The context of this is Stephen, one of the very first disciples, who's about to be killed because of his faith in Jesus. It was the religious leaders of that day that were threatened by what he was saying, who were ready to kill him. And it's right before he's killed that he says these words in chapter 7, verse 51 of Acts. He says, you stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to be in that place. He's describing a stubbornness that any of us can have, where we're resisting the influence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And the caution that Stephen is making to us is open our hearts, open our ears to the Spirit to allow him to have greater influence in our life and to sincerely desire his influence in our life. And then turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. This is page 800. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The Apostle Paul writes, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Grieving describes that deep sadness over loss or pain. And it's interesting that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Why would the Holy Spirit grieve? The Holy Spirit will grieve when we live in such a way that's contrary to his nature, who lives within us. When we live in a way that's contrary to the way the Spirit wants to lead us. And what's interesting, and I encourage you to begin to read this on your own, in the words right before this where he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, Paul talks about how we treat others, that how we treat others, we can treat others in a way that would grieve the Holy Spirit. He talks about things like not if when we don't tell the truth, when we steal from other people, when we use words that tear people down, that grieves the Holy Spirit. And then notice the words that follow right after he said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He talks about how we shouldn't be bitter, but rather we should be thankful. He talks about how we might try to hurt other people or we fail to be kind and forgiving. And when we do that, we're causing the Holy Spirit grief. In other words, what Paul's saying is allow the Holy Spirit to shape us, how we respond to situations and people. Let the Spirit influence us. A third text found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. This is page 808. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19, he says, a very short sentence, do not quench the Spirit. Literally, he's using the illustration of don't extinguish a fire. The Holy Spirit is like a fire that wants to influence us. And he says, don't put out the influence of the Spirit in your life. Listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit as he urges you to respond or to do a certain thing. Listen, follow his guidance and his teachings. I actually believe that the Holy Spirit is constantly trying to coach us, trying to prompt us to do something or to respond in a certain way. I literally experience this daily. One of the stories that was so clear to me was a time when I had an appointment that got canceled. And my first response to the appointment being canceled is, yes, I've got some free time. And immediately, the Spirit of God said, call Paul. Why? I got free time, you know. I called Paul. His wife answered. And I could tell something was off, and I said, are you okay? Are you sick? And she said, no, I'm not sick. Paul and I have been up all night because our son literally went crazy last night. They found him sleeping in a cemetery. And they'd been up all night, and they were just exhausted, and they didn't know what to do. And so I immediately went over. As soon as I walked into their house, they were in the living room. We just fell on our knees and began to pray. That was the Holy Spirit. I had no reason to call Paul. I had every reason not to call Paul. But the Holy Spirit knew that they needed someone to come alongside them that would stand with them in that moment. And the Holy Spirit's doing that all the time in our life. And then one last word of encouragement. This is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, page 798. Paul says, since we live by the Spirit, which we do, and he just spent a good part of that chapter trying to convince us to live by the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I love this picture. The word that Paul uses, it's a little different. Sometimes Paul, if you're familiar with the New Testament, Paul say that we're to walk in the Spirit. This actually, he uses a different word. This is keeping in step with the Spirit, like get in line. Those of you who are teachers of little kids, you know how you try to get your kids in line when you move them to a new place? This is get in line, or more significantly, this describes a column of soldiers who are marching. The Holy Spirit is leading us, and think of it in this way. The Holy Spirit is leading us into our battle, whatever those battles are, whatever those challenges are. And we just need to stay in step, following him wherever he leads us. What does this mean? We have a forever friend and coach, the Holy Spirit. He is for you. He will always be with you. He has great things in store for you. So don't resist him. Don't ignore him. Don't overlook him. Don't resist him. Don't reject him. Let him help you so that you can truly follow Jesus well. Because living like Jesus is way too hard for us to manage on our own. We need help. And the Holy Spirit is God in your corner. Trying to follow Jesus without the Spirit, I'm just going to be blunt, that's crazy. It's crazy to try to follow Jesus on our own power. And by the way, folks, try it all the time. People can have faith, and just to be theologically clear, people can have faith and people can be saved, and they try to do it without the Spirit. And that's what I'm saying is crazy. And here's what happens. When we try to follow Jesus on our own without the Spirit, what ends up happening is we have to rely on following rules. Instead of following the Spirit, then we only have following rules. And when our whole faith is based on just following rules, I'm not saying following rules are bad, but when it's just that, what happens is we fall into legalism, judgmentalism, and perpetual guilt because we can never follow all the rules. That's called the law. That's what Paul warned us about over and over again. That's why he invites us to live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. It's just futile to try to follow Jesus on our own power. In fact, Jesus said it's impossible. The only way to follow Jesus, because Jesus is calling us to a supernatural life, the only way to follow Jesus in a supernatural life is with supernatural help. And that's the Spirit of God. And so we're going to unpack this more over the next 3 weeks. We're going to continue this for three more weeks. And I want to encourage you, whether you're here or not, you can always watch online. Don't miss a week as we continue to explore how the Holy Spirit works in our life and how we can engage him more and more. But here's my challenge today. This is what I want to challenge each of us with right now. This is what I'm asking you to do. Make the commitment over the next 3 weeks to better understand the Spirit, to better engage the Spirit, to go deeper with the Holy Spirit. I'm just asking you to set your heart saying, I want to be more open to the Spirit working in my life and to experience him. And so like I said, we're gonna do this for three more weeks, and we're gonna add an additional opportunity that we've not done for at least a very long time, is that we're gonna offer on Sunday, March 22nd, at 4:00 in the afternoon, right here in the auditorium, we're gonna offer an opportunity to take a deeper dive into looking at some questions about the Holy Spirit. We're gonna try to cover as much as we can in the four messages, but also we're gonna add that additional as well. And what I wanna be able to do that day, when we do that deeper dive into the Holy Spirit, is I want to answer questions you have. So go to mypantano.church and you'll see Deeper Dive. It's right on the front page of the website. And there you can put your questions that you have about the Holy Spirit. And I'll try to answer as many of those as possible that afternoon on March 22nd at 4 p.m. right here. And we'll remind you about that. Here's the other thing I want you to do. I want you to decide to know the Holy Spirit deeper and personally right now, because he's your best friend. He's your best coach. And he's as close as can be, and he's God. There's nothing more that we could ask for. So let me give you just a couple practical ways to begin doing this right now. Let me do this first idea with a question. How do you typically, normally address God when you pray? Do you pray our Father? Do you pray God? Do you pray Jesus? My hunch is most of us don't pray to the Holy Spirit. And I want to challenge you to begin doing that. There's nothing wrong with praying to God. There's nothing wrong with addressing him as our Father. Jesus instructed us to do that in the Lord's Prayer. There's nothing wrong with praying to Jesus. But what we tend to do is neglect the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you to pray directly to the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Holy Spirit just like you pray to God. And then specifically, invite the Holy Spirit to have a greater influence in your life. If you've never or have had trouble hearing the teaching, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, ask, say, Holy Spirit, help me to be aware of you. I've not been aware of you. Ask whatever you want to ask, but I'm encouraging you to engage directly the Holy Spirit. And then I want to suggest this. I hope that you're reading the Bible on a regular basis. Before you read, at least over the next few weeks, before you actually start reading, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you through what you read. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you be alert. He inspired these words. He's living within you. And there's an incredible thing that happens when we really are inviting the Holy Spirit to speak to us through the words of Scripture to change us and transform us. Ask to see what you need to apply to your own life as you're reading this. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to have some additional teaching that'll help us understand and to engage the Holy Spirit better. But I want you to begin with that heart and that attitude right now. In fact, let's pray right now. Father God, some of us are just uncertain about you, the Holy Spirit. We don't know how you function in our lives. And so, Holy Spirit, we are inviting you. We're inviting you to have greater influence. We're inviting you to help us to experience you better. We need your help even in that. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to help us truly understand your scripture better, your word. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to guide us in the decisions that we make and in the ways that we respond to people and situations through our day. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to help us to follow Jesus well. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus who sent us his Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you're a new to Pantano, I'm so grateful you decided to join us today. And if you'd like to figure out a next step, whatever that might be, I want to encourage you to go to starting point, room number one. And if you need prayer, our prayer partners will be here. They would love to pray with you. Thank you for being with us. Engage the Holy Spirit this week.